Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And it is the grand final of the fifth wars of Robot Wars.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen. We are here once again.
And by the end of this episode, two robots will look like they crawled out of Osowick.
Yes. Osowick.
Marks of the Dead Men. You just went to a Sabaton gig.
Yes, yes, I did. I said, so you just said March of the Dead Men. I was like, I love that song.
Yeah.
God, that's like, you know, they've got so many songs. I can't remember every pinpoint little fucking detail of it, all right?
Plus, anyway.
I was drinking heavily. I was in the mosh pit at one point.
And oh, then, like, no! Then
the next day, I noticed this massive bruise on my arm. And see, to be honest, see if I look there, it's still there, kind of. I must have collided super hard with a dude in that mosh pit to get a bruise. And I got twatted in the fucking face. I think an errant elbow or fist just popped me in the face.
Yeah.
So, like, part of my my lip was like kind of, like, it wasn't like swollen, but like it was like slightly swollen. Like, you know, you press on it, it was kind of hard for a couple of days. It was a hell of a time. I was starting to realize that at 32, going on 33 years of age, maybe mosh pits aren't good for me anymore.
Anyway, we're getting distracted because the greatest battle in Robot Wars history is about to happen.
I know. I just kind of want to take one more second before we get into this. So that's why we're kind of stalling for time.
This fight's hard to watch. Because it is. It's basically... Right. If you want to introduce our two combatants.
Yep. From Oxfordshire, Hypnodisc. And from Brighton, Bigger Brother.
Bigger Brother. This isn't the case of I'm going to break your fist with my face. I'm going to break your fist with my face and my spine and my arms and my ballsack.
and my butt.
And mainly our butt, because they... So basically, it looks like they have a thicker panel at the back of the robot.
Yeah, like this has always been like Bigger Brother's defense against spinners. If you remember, I think this was the way that they beat Mauler in BattleBots, was they just went arse first straight into Mauler and it kind of blew up.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely been like a strategical thing that they have done multiple times before. And see, for the first couple of shots, it takes them, well, not head on, butt on, I guess.
And then one of them just tags it the wrong way.
Well, that's the thing is, I think it's literally that back plate, like the middle bit. And then, like, Hypnodisc gets the plate to the side of it, and then that's the one that gets the big beefy hole, and it's like, that's not the one we meant to hit with.
And at first you're like, oh, it's all superficial. Then Bigger Brother gets underneath Hypnodisc, goes to flip, and the whole flipper moves.
Yeah, there's one dink with the Hypnodisc weapon, and the whole weapon is crooked. But it it pops it once and it still seems functional. So when it finally gets a chance to like get in under and flip, and then the flipper just snaps off the body.
And then, and at first you're thinking, I mean, how does Hypnodisc lose this? I know how, because Bigger Brawler basically does the Hail Mary tactic of it rams Hypnodisc so hard into the wall, I think the entire arena shakes. And it works. You can actually see that's when Hypnodisc looks like it's been knocked silly.
Yeah, it's a bit punch drunk at this point.
And then there's this, and it is, it's just not quite moving freely from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Big Umbrella kind of go, we've got one, we're not going to win this if it goes to a judge's decision.
Yep, and the immortal words of Eminem, we got one shot and one opportunity to seize so everything we ever wanted.
Run for the pit, hit the pit, and then there's this beautiful moment where they just throw Hypnodisc into the pit.
It's just, it just corrals it in. It's like, okay, pit's open. It's like, it just does like a 360 with the broken flipper just kind of under Hypnodisc enough where like, I think the Hypnodisc's like kind of wheels that are on the ground are still moving, so Hypnodisc almost helps itself into the pit, and it just stops right on the edge, but like it's teetering, so it's not like Hypnodisc wheels were still on the floor, so it can kind of get back out. Bigger Brother's just like, right, in you go, and it's, oh, I didn't remember the fight actually being as short as it was, but the whole thing was just intense.
And it is one of the most drag out brutal fights.
And as I've probably mentioned before, this is the match in question where I say it's the camera work that does this job, because they're filming Ellie having an emotional breakdown in the cabin.
Because no wonder, you're 6 years old and you're just seeing this thing that you've spent months... Well, in her case, she's probably, as long as she can remember, there's been robots being built.
Yeah. And it just...
she's just not far off ages with us.
Sorry?
She's not far off ages with us.
No, I think she's maybe like 2 or 3 years younger. If I was about... If she was about 6 here, I would have been about... I was going to say 8 or 9. I think it may have been a bit older than that.
No, we'd have been about 10, 11.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of.
We wouldn't have been far off Joe Watts. I think Joe Watts is closer in age to us. I think he's 9 or 10 by this point.
Mm-hmm. So, Bigger Brother, literally snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. And they've done it. They're through to the final. So
which
who are they going to fight?
Closest, it is the closest we're ever going to get to a Razor Hypnodisc match.
I've probably said it before, but I'll say it again. If I win the lottery, I'm going to try to put on a Robot Combat style pay-per-view. And I will pay the Roses and Team Razor any amount of money they want to do to finally have this fight. And even, like, to the point where it's like, if Hypnodisc is still... Well, we know that it's still in belt condition, as we've seen recently on... As one of the Roses put up photos of the robot on shunt posting. So we know that it's still there. It's not like it's been completely dismantled and lost to the ether. So... You know, there's a chance. All I need to do is win the lottery.
Yep.
And if I can get a Cassius 2 and someone to drive it on behalf of Rex Garrett, we get I'm booking Cassius 2 versus Chaos 2. I think we have just created a milestone episode.
Yeah. Anyway.
There's two spoilers for mine. Find out what else happens the next time we hit a 50 mark.
Possibly.
Possibly.
So anyway, we move on from this this battle where there's a robot that leaves the arena in pieces to a match where one of the contestants is entering the arena in pieces.
How is this thing still going? Yeah. From Bournemouth, Razor.
Oh, Razor's looking great.
Yeah, Razor looks like it just it's coming up to his first fight.
Yep.
Then his opponent from Durham, Firestorm 3.
Now, when I was 11, I couldn't understand how this match was close. See now, mm-hmm. Razor gets a bit lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Because, I mean, at first it looks like it's... I mean, Razor wins on damage by Countryman. Firestorm immediately drives into the claw, and because their flip was jammed open, you actually see at one point Razor get in behind the flipper.
Yeah.
And you can actually... You see the bend in the ram afterwards.
Yeah, so the flipper was jammed, like, almost instantly.
Look, good guy Razor, he closed it for them.
Well, I don't know if that was good guy Razor or Hail Mary Firestorm just going, we can't close the flipper. Right, let's just run head first into it and see if that pushes it shut so that then we can at least have our wedge. And then that's exactly what they do is Firestorm, after finally getting out of the grip of Razor... Just goes to the other side of the arena and just goes, Leroy Jenkins! And because... just drives face first into the beak, which pops the flipper panel shut enough. And then Razor crashes down on it, which closes it even more. And it's like, ah, well, at least they've got their wedge now. So they've at least got like some kind of like... battering ram of some kind to help push about. And then I feel like from this point on, this is where, again, Firestorm has a chip on its shoulder now and just it tries everything that it could do. And it's arguably the more aggressive from here on in because it rams Razor up against the wall and then this is the terrifying moment where Razor doesn't fucking move.
One, that, and two, there is these awesome moments, and you see this a few times, where at first you think, oh, Razor is grabbing Firestorm and dragging it around.
No, that's not what I think is happening.
And then you realise, no. What's happening is Razor's gripping Firestorm, and Firestorm's going, good! And pushing them around.
Yeah. So at this point, the pet gets activated, and Firestorm... and Razor in a death clutch both go over the corner of the pit. And it is absolutely insane that neither of them went down. They break away, they come back together. The exact same thing happens again to the point where Jonathan Pierce says that almost looked like an instant replay.
Yeah.
Then there's like even a third time where Firestorm like gets Razor on the very lip of the pit. And it was so close. Like, three times Firestorm almost managed to get this.
Can you imagine Bigger Brawler versus Firestorm in the final fight? And just these two robots just slugging it out? Because it would be a pushing match at that point.
Yeah. And then, you know, if Firestorm won this, we would have got Razor versus Hypnodisc.
Yeah. So, it goes to the judges, and it gets to the point where, like, we're actually going to get out and have a closer look at the robots.
Yeah.
Which I can only ascertain is, we're going to check if there is any damage on Razor at all, because if there's any damage on Razor, it's enough to give Firestorm some points. Because I get the impression this is a 23-22 decision.
Yeah, like, I think Razor obviously wins on damage. There's obviously no doubt about that. But control, style, aggression, I think
all
Firestorm
fairly mixed.
Yeah, I think definitely Firestorm gets the lion's share of those points. But I think, like, obviously, as they always say, damage carries more than anything else. And Razor squeaked by, because they make sure to emphasize that this was one of the most difficult decisions the judges ever had to make in Robot Wars. And it is kind of insane when you look at the two robots coming out of this fight and you see Firestorm mangled in the way that it is, and Razor coming out almost looking as pristine as it went in, to think that this match went as close as it did.
Absolutely.
And then my last note there was, this was a sleeper match.
Like, oh no, it is. It's, I think this is probably the next time we have an event with as many high quality matches is the final of the reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Not the final ever reboot match.
Season 10, final. Yeah.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled TekNoAxe.
And, you know, it doesn't even stop there. Because we then move on to our third place playoff, the rematch from the second semi-final, as Firestorm takes on Hypnodisc. This is Firestorm's revenge now.
Oh yeah, they have run out of fucks to give.
I think they've ran out of literally everything. Like, they
said, yeah, they've run out of stuff for the flipper.
The weapon's gubbed. We're going into this match without a weapon. And again, Hypnodisc is still sitting there looking almost as pristine as it did at the start of the season. And old zombie Firestorm over there.
And yeah, basically, Firestorm goes, we're just going to hit them again and again, not let them get any speed up. And then finally, the match ends with Firestorm kamikazing Hypnodisc into the pit.
Death and glory!
Yeah.
Because one of the weirdest things in this was Firestorm had a wheel exposed. And I feel like that was the first time we've ever seen Firestorm's wheels.
Yep.
Which, like, sounds a bit weird. Showing off wheels, like, kind of the equivalent of feet picks for robots.
Yep.
If that's your thing, I'm not going to judge you. So, yeah, this match did not last long at all. And the thing with the kamikaze is Firestorm came in with such speed and gusto that it almost looked like Hypnodisc almost bounced back out of the pit because of how quickly, like, the two of them went in. So both of them go down the pit at the same time. We take a cut. We cut to Craig Charles. Craig says the judges are asking for a rematch. Are you good with it? Firestorm goes, yeah. And turns around to Hypnodisc, says, are you good with it? And says, we would be, but Hypnodisc is done.
Yeah.
He says that I think the impact from going down in the pit must have dislodged something, and they can't go anymore. So, with that, by proxy, Hypnodisc have lost, and Firestorm wins third place.
Yep.
Craig then turns around to Team Firestorm, and then they start discussing the fact that they have had the most fights in Season 5 of Robot Wars, because obviously they had to go through the losers melee to come back and then advance to the finals. So, yeah, like, they have had more fights than anyone else.
Absolutely, yes.
And this is the amazing moment where they show Firestorm at the beginning of the season, looking quite pretty and pristine, and then they do the side swipe of what it looks like now, where it looks like some kind of Frankenstein zombie. And it's like, you know, they did not have a good run in terms of getting out scot-free. Like, and it showed here. So that just makes it even more, like, gives them even more props that they got third place when they're probably the most mangled robot in this season. So I raise my glass to Firestorm.
Yep.
Perfect. Yeah, I didn't even really notice that they just put like a massive bit of plastic over the front to just kind of hold the flipper down. It's like, right, never mind.
Yep, so before we get to see, to give the big Umbrella team time to rebuild their entire machine, we get the awards. Starting with the best design.
We have Thermidor 2.
Mm-hmm. Razor.
Terahertz.
Big Umbrella.
And Woowat.
And the winner, because Adam Clark can't get anything, is Razor.
I know, come on, man. Like, literally, you have Razor in the final. Can you not just, like, throw the lad something?
Yep.
Give the lad a bone. Jesus Christ. Up next, we have the Best Engineered Award,
which has Dominator 2.
Spawn Again.
Derek.
Firestorm 3.
And Razor.
And the winner is...
Derek.
Okay. So that little robot that we made fun of for being a Season 2 robot won the Best Engineered Award.
Which is quite impressive, to be fair.
Yeah. And it never comes back again, I don't think. Maybe it does. I don't know.
I'll just have a look. Well, Derek 2 fights in Season 2.
Season 2?
Sorry, Season 6.
No. Okay. Well, maybe... Let's see what it looks like next season, then. But up next is the most original entry, starting with...
S3.
13 black.
And 11.
All numbered robots. And the winner is...
S3.
Which is very well deserved.
Absolutely. And out of the three robots, probably the most successful.
I think that may be... we may need to see about that.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. But up next is our sportsmanship award,
which doesn't feature Deator or Plunderbird.
Yeah, a bit upset about that, especially like, you know, the lack of Deator representation. Maybe they just got rich in this season and told everybody to go fuck themselves, and that's we're gonna work on our own robot. We've never been a heat final before. Leave us alone.
Yep.
So the two nominees are
13 Black
and Pussycat.
And Pussycat takes it.
Well, good for them. I mean, it's another little kind of, not kickback, but like, at least they walked away with something this year. Because they had a hell of a run.
Yep.
And they didn't come out unscathed either, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the final award is the Newcomer Award. Three nominees here, starting with
Fluffy,
Crush Station,
and S3. And the winner is Fluffy.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I mean, let's face it. Fluffy should have went further.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Damn electrics. It would have been really interesting to have seen
how they could have done in a semi-final.
Yeah. So, we had Pussycat against Panic Attack. So that would have been Fluffy against Panic Attack.
That could have not ended well for Panic Attack.
No. Well, if the rest of the way, like, if that match still went the same way it did with the stoppy starty of Panic Attack, Fluffy would have then went on to take on Firestorm 3.
The condition Firestorm 3 was in.
Yeah,
they would have had a shot.
It would have had a good shot.
It then would have faced Razor and, well.
And to be honest, it's a nice flat box, perfect for Razor's Num Num.
But it's also a spinning disc, and we never have seen how strong Razor's armor is to a spinning disc.
Yeah. That's actually quite interesting, the distinct lack of spinning discs that we've seen Razor against. The closest, probably Pussycat.
Yep. So.
But we digress.
After every team apart from Razor, for obvious reasons, rebuilt Big Umbrella. And I mean, literally, it's, you can see there are bits of it, they've just like stuck a bit of metal on and riveted it on to try and keep it together.
Yep. It doesn't even look the same anymore. It's, again, like, just want to get this out there one more time. Razor still looks the exact same as it did in its episode.
Oh, yeah, Razor looks in tremendous nick.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just been taken out the shed after you moved, you know, the bed out of the way.
And yeah, so this is actually not the most exciting battle, unfortunately, because there isn't really much Big Umbrella can do.
I know. It just lasts, essentially. So it just, it gets nipped quite a lot. There's Razor so low to the ground that Bigger Brother can barely ever get. I don't think he even pops the flipper. I don't even know if the flipper even works at this point.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, yeah, it's just in such.
Oh, actually, it does go at least once. Because I'm watching it on silent in the background. Because it does get picked up by Razor's beak at one point. And then they use the flipper to kind of to get off. So the flipper did work, but you know, a flipper can work all day, but if you don't get the if you don't get the right angle to use it, what's the point? It's about as good as it not working.
Yep.
And it, to be honest, it does just kind of go on like this.
Absolutely.
Like, it's very unfortunate for a multitude of reasons. Like, the Big Brother tries to go for the pit at one point, and just like that, this is probably going to be their only kind of Hail Mary pass, and sadly it doesn't come this time.
Nope. It does its best, but yeah. It's...
Yeah. It lasts the 3 minutes, which I'll once again give up extreme credit for, because it is torn up, like there's holes everywhere. It's very sad to kind of see by the end of the fight, but it goes to the judges. But obviously there wasn't really much to judge here. Razor wins the UK championship. And then Joe Watts starts screaming that yous are chickens.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I kind of tune out when it gets to the interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah. I know, I just found that kind of funny that he was just like, and then Craig's like, why? Why the chickens? Like, oh, we were waiting there and they didn't come attack us.
Of course they didn't. They have.
Yeah, been... you're standing right next to the pit, like.
Yeah.
They'd significantly done enough at this point, like.
And it is a shame because it is very much a. We are doing what is necessary. We don't want to do anything too radical or dangerous.
Yeah. Well, we'll do the status quo here. And, I mean, you can't argue. Wins him the championship. Finally. Attempt number 4. They did it.
It's the first time they even got out of a heat.
Yeah. And so they finally went all the way.
Yep. So, it's time. For the trivia.
Ah.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention, the first 10 minutes of this episode was just a recap of the series.
Yeah, like literally episodes like, in Heat 1, KS2 beat blah blah blah, blah blah blah, blah blah blah. In Heat 2, Hypnotist beat do-do-do-do-do and da-da-da. And so, it just went on like that for every episode.
During the Jonathan Pierce recap, only one episode, the first semi-final, had every fight showcased, though Heat H had 6 fights featured. In contrast, Heat K only had 2 fights showcased, and only one explicitly mentioned. Heat C and E also had 2 fights showcased, with both mentioned. During the series recap, Firestorm Freeze battle with Puttycat was shown out of sequence to the loser's melee against Panic Attack and Wheelie Big Cheese, although Jonathan Pierce's commentary did address the latter in the past tense.
Hmm.
This is the first grand final since the Second War to actually feature a third place playoff. Because the third and fourth wars, one of the robots that went out was too damaged.
Yeah.
This is the last time we see Hypnodisc in a grand final.
No. Spoilers.
The battle between Firestorm 3 and Razor is considered one of the closest judges' decision in the show's history. The third place playoff was Firestorm 3's 8th fight in the Fifth Wars. Prior to Series 8, this set the record for most battles fought by a competitor in a single competition.
Sheesh.
And they also filmed Extreme at the same time.
Blumenick.
This is the only grand final not to feature the number one seed, discounting series that had no seeds. And all 4 grand finalists defeated at least one of the previous year's semi-finalists en route to the grand final. This previously occurred in Series 3 and would occur again in Series 6. And that is our coverage of Robot Wars, The Fifth Wars. Which I genuinely think is one of these series where... I'm not going to sit and say it hasn't aged well. Like that would be unfair.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last three episodes are what everyone remembers. Because the last three episodes are incredible.
100%. Like... this is kind of what made us nostalgic for the season was remembering the fights from these last three episodes. And so every week when we're sitting through like a bunch of like very dull heats, and I was like, okay,
well,
maybe I just completely misremembered.
Well, are pretty much... Well, the first three heats are basically a case of...
glorified right. squash.
Yeah, we are purely running this to show. Oh, here is our big mega star.
Yeah, it's like, well, we know that they're going to go through the semifinal, so like, let's why bother?
Yep.
But yeah, like the end of this season really kind of helped, because there were a few, as I said, there was a few heats where not much of anything happened, and then as soon as we got to the semifinals, like the cream of the crop, like really stepped up their game.
Yep, absolutely.
But now it's time for something completely different. Because what are we doing next week, Alan? The final season of Comedy Central's BattleBots next week. The first two episodes.
Yeah.